Thank you for joining Pastor Brandon Ware for his series entitled Discipleship in a Digital Age. In this series, he discusses how our faith should impact our online habits and use of technology. Here's Pastor Brandon.
Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles tonight to two different passages. The first one being the Romans 12 passage, and then a second one being Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, so just kind of find those places in your Bible. Past couple of Wednesday nights, we've just been looking at this subject of technology, okay, digital discipleship. And I've wanted to sort of prepare some kind of a study on this for some time. And I told you that you all are the first guinea pigs. I realize that some of you, this may not necessarily be your generation. But I want to have the material that I've put together because I hope that this can be something that, as we offer these equipped courses and we do it in different formats, I really want to, this summer, I want to take 4 consecutive weeks and I want to take some students through it in our student ministry. And then figuring out some kind of format that really works with moms and dads. And how parents can be aware and how parents can set some proper boundaries and limits. I'm going to kind of talk to some young parents about what we've done, what Anita and I do. And so it's amazing. I mean, my son is a first grader. You put a tablet in his hand, it's amazing how he can finagle around on that thing, and man, he can do things on it that you'd think, wow, this little guy is 7 years old, going to be 8 years old. It's amazing how they learn how to navigate on these devices. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk about how we need to be intentional. Intentionality is the key word, how we need to be very intentional with regard to technology usage. All right, so if you were here last Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about distraction, how technology can even be a distraction to us spiritually, relationally. And so tonight I want to look at it from really a positive angle because, you know, I don't want us to sort of say, oh, you know, technology bad, technology. I've told you that technology is neither intrinsically good nor is it inherently evil. All right, I've tried to emphasize that over the past couple of weeks. It is a tool, and the nature of how you use it determines the value or the lack thereof in your life. Okay, so think of it as a positive tool. How can it be something that is a help, is a benefit to our lives, more so than a distraction? It can be a distraction. When it's more of a toy than it is a tool, it can be a distraction. But when technology is within its proper bounds, and whenever we make it our slave rather than us becoming its slave, that principle from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, remember where the Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not everything's helpful. I'm not going to be dominated by anything. Paul says, I'm not going to become a slave to anything. And when technology is a distraction in your life, that is what happens. You become a slave to it. But wisdom and discernment uses it as a tool and makes it our slave to serve our useful purposes. And so that's kind of the way I want to, you know, just kind of go in that direction tonight when we talk about just the intentional use of intentional living in a digital world, right? So remember, people respond to technology in really 3 different ways. You've got one being an enthusiastic embrace, those who approach it never applying any discernment whatsoever. The opposite extreme are those who view it with strict separation. They don't want to touch it at all. They view it as being inherently evil. But then you have those who take the balanced approach and they use disciplined discernment. All right? That's how I believe God's called us to respond as disciples of Jesus to technology and really anything else in life. Disciplined discernment. Okay? So I've been making the argument these last couple of weeks that we should really be careful in our approach. And so really that's the principle that I've wanted to show you from Romans chapter 12. Okay? That first verse. All right? So the principle from Romans 12, in your introduction, you can jot this down. The principle is this: technology use is a matter of discernment. All right? It's an issue of discernment. You see what Paul says there, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. So the principle here is that we're presenting our bodies to God, living sacrifices. All of our life we're to live as an act of worship. Worship in my life, it's not something that I simply relegate or I compartmentalize my life. Sunday is my day for worship, and every other day of the week and my time I do whatever I want to do. No, to present your body a living sacrifice means that you view all of life and every area of your life as an act of worship to the living God. Okay, that's what we've been called to do as disciples. We've been saved for that purpose, set apart for that purpose. And so every area of life ought to be viewed as a means by which I can glorify God. You know, the mundane things of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whether you eat, whether you drink, do all for the glory of God. You know, I can eat to the glory of God. And gluttony means that I've taken it to an excess, and it's not so much about the glory of God anymore, it's about me. And that applies to so much in anything you can make an excess of. And this certainly applies to digital technology. So we've got to be discerning in our use. And the beauty of this is that God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us as the people of God. And He gives us, supplies wisdom and discernment. And as we read the Word, and the Holy Spirit will prompt our heart. And it may just be in your life that technology has been more of a toy than a tool. And maybe there are ways that you could better use, you know, things like social media and all of that. You know, it could become something more than just sharing cat videos. And it could be maybe a platform where maybe you could engage someone relationally. Or maybe you could point people to faith in Jesus. All right, so it's a matter of discernment. Okay, that's the Romans 12 passage. Now, I want you to look at the Ephesians 5 passage. Okay, there's a principle here that I want you to see. Okay, look down at verse 15 in Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul says this. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." So he's saying, be discerning here. So he's still using that same, that language of discernment. You see it here. But look at verse 16. He says, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Older translations say something like this. Redeem the time. Cash in the time that you have, because the days are evil. So here's the thing, all right? Technologies, it's a matter of discernment, the way you use it and approach it. But it's also an issue of stewardship, okay? So it's a matter of discernment in my life, and yet it's also a matter of stewardship in my life. Stewardship means that we recognize that all of the tools and all of the resources that we've been given, ultimately, they belong to God. And one day we're going to give an account. So I'm going to give an account for every idle word that I speak. I'm going to give an account to my master one day for the resources and the gifts and the talents and the things that he entrusts me with. And if you think that you're not going to be accountable to God for your own line behavior, you're sadly mistaken. Okay? The way that we use technology, the way that we engage people around us with social media and all of these things, don't think that that's beyond the all-seeing gaze of God. Okay, so we will be accountable. So we've got to be faithful stewards, and we've got to steward it well. Same thing's true with my money and my resources. All of that. I'm a steward of everything, owner of nothing, steward of everything. So you'll find that discernment and stewardship, these two principles are often connected all throughout Scripture. You read Ephesians 5 here, you'll notice that Paul is linking discernment with stewardship. So as you're discerning as a disciple of Jesus, you have wisdom with how you approach various components of life. You're then able to see how you might be able to steward your life better. Now, all of us have the same amount of time in any given week. All of us have 168 hours in any given week. Now, realize that we all have different responsibilities. Some of you are still working full-time jobs. Some of you are working multiple jobs. Some of you are retired. But all of us have 168 hours in any given week. So we've got to steward the time that God gives us, and we've got to be very careful with the way that we use that time. We've got to be intentional. So if I were to come back to that word and apply it specifically to the use of technology, how am I being intentional? How am I not just wasting my life in a social media platform or on some digital device, but rather how am I using it for the glory of God and stewarding my resources well? Okay? Dr. Archibald Hart, who wrote a book that I've recommended called The Digital Invasion, okay, a book that I read that I thought, man, this is really good. He says this, he says, these are truly some desperate times that we're living in. We're spending less time moving our bodies, enjoying ourselves in nature, cultivating healthy relationships. Stress, anxiety, and depression-related disorders are on the rise. People are struggling with being more isolated and disconnected, which, by the way, isn't that amazing? We've got all this social media connectivity, and there are multiple ways that people can now get in contact with us. You've got not just phone calls, but you've got text messaging, you've got emailing, you've got instant messaging, you've got FaceTime and Skype and all of these ways that people can connect, and yet people still feel more isolated and disconnected than ever before. He says, we've already talked about the dumbing down of our brain capacity. Really, what do we have to show for all the time spent pointlessly in a digital world? Pointlessly being the operative word. Okay? People are tired, they're worn out. Well, could it possibly be that maybe we're not making the best use of the time? We're not doing what the apostle writes here in Ephesians 5, redeeming the time, making the best use of the opportunity we have while we have it. So the more digital toys and trinkets we have in our lives, the more important it becomes to take spiritual inventory and see whether or not we're really making spiritual progress. Okay? So this is why intentionality is so very important. All right, now, here's a question. I want you to just kind of maybe talk amongst yourselves for just a minute or two. How can we as Christians be intentional with the way that we use digital technology? All right, how can we be intentional? How can we make it serve us rather than us serving it? Okay, why don't you take just a minute or two, talk to a couple folks around you, and maybe get their ideas. Did you come up with some good ideas? I hope you came up with some good ideas. I'd really like to hear your ideas, okay? So intentional, how can we be intentional with the use of technology, making it our servant rather than us being its servant? All right, what was something that maybe you heard? Right, so back in the day, you'd had to have sent a carrier pigeon, you know, with that note, or snail mail, you know, so you were able to do that just like that. So that's an intentional use of communicating your love and affection for someone and the fact that you're going to pray for someone. So that's being very intentional with the way that you use it. All right, Eddie said, you know, using it to read scripture. You read your Bible on your iPad there, okay? I'll be honest. Tomorrow I'm going to get on airplane, 12 hours. I have got a library with me that I'm taking on my iPad, which is awesome. Okay, it's awesome. So I've got my Logos Bible software on my iPad. I've got countless books that I've got that I'm reading on my iPad. So I've had that, and don't have to worry about bringing an extra carry-on item with all those books. What else? What else? Intentional. All right, using it to spread the gospel. Specifically, how could we spread the gospel through the use of technology? All right, podcasting. right now, I mean, you think about just I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to be very transparent tonight. I love the fact that we're able to Facebook Live and live stream our services. I think there are more advantages than disadvantages. I do think that there are some potential dangers with that, to where people can become increasingly comfortable staying at home, watching something disconnected from the reality and the context in which the actual event is happening. Just because you're watching a live preaching event or worship event doesn't necessarily mean that you are participating in that event with the people who are part of. So when the church is gathered together, there's a spiritual dynamic that I think you miss when you are not there in body. Okay? So I think that there are more advantages and disadvantages, but I think it's a tool, and we've got to be on guard. Okay? But it does get the gospel out there. And let me tell you something. If you're on social media and you come to worship, if you share the live video from our church Facebook page on your particular social media page, and let's just say you've got so many Facebook friends, you've got some that aren't even believers, you don't know if they will watch that at some point during the week or not. And it could be that God uses His Word via that format. They hear something, they see something that they've never considered. God uses it to really bring conviction to their heart, and it could be a way that they come to know Christ. So that's where it's a tool. Yeah, okay. Couldn't come, they could watch it. Well, there you go. There's another good advantage. What about productivity? For those of you still in the work world, how has technology helped you for productivity's sake? Ian's like, it helps me good. Yeah. Appointments, calendar, you know, all that kind of stuff. In your line of work, figuring out how to get somewhere using GPS, Google Maps, or whatever, I can get there. I don't have to worry about bringing my old Rand Road Atlas with me anymore. I mean, you know, that big thing that was so big that used to. Okay. Yeah. All right. What else? There you go. If you still do that, Steve, I won't be at home and not on the road when you're headed my direction. All right, so listen, there's a number of ways where we can be intentional in the use of technology. Now, there are really three things I want to show you tonight quickly, okay? So you jot these down. Number one, I think intentionally using technology to our advantage, intentional living in a digital age, it involves embracing these digital benefits. What you've shared, what we've heard, these are advantages, they're benefits, they are good things to be embraced, okay? There's a plethora of benefits that digital tools can bring to our lives, and we can use it for the glory of God. And so we don't want to be negative surrounding technology. Just because there are those who misuse technology doesn't mean that all technology is bad. You know, there are a lot of people who misuse a lot of good things that God has given humanity. That's what humanity does in our sin and our depravity. We take God's good gifts and we enshrine them and we make them tools to serve our own selfish objectives and selfish agendas. And so in that sense, anything can be used for an evil and a wicked purpose. But it can also, technology can be a tool to be used to a God-glorifying end. Okay? So I came across an article that I thought was really helpful by a professor. His name is David Murray. He's a professor and an author. And his article was entitled, How Technology Has Made Me a Better Christian. And I thought it was an interesting title, so I read his article. And he mentioned just a few of what I would call digital benefits. The first one that he mentioned was affordable resources. Books can be expensive, and digital books, in many ways, they're less expensive than hard copy books. Now, I'm old-fashioned. I'll be honest. If I get a digital book, I'm probably going to wind up having the hard copy version of it first. Okay? Because I like to have a book in my hand. I can underline it. And plus, I know if the power grid goes down, I can at least access it. I know where my books are. Okay? But affordable resources. Technology helps make things more affordable. economy of words. I think I threw these on my, I've got these on the screen here. You think about word processing. You know, as a teacher, as a preacher, pastor, word processing is something that, you know, I'm constantly engaged in. I can now type faster than I can write something out longhand. I still like to write longhand. I still like to journal longhand. But when I'm preparing sermon notes and things like that, I do it word processor. I can type a whole lot faster. So the currency of words, the exchange of ideas, the economy of words, this is a benefit. Something else he mentioned was cultural commentary. What he meant by that is that now, take for example all that's raging in our culture around certain issues that the church is having to grapple with as we're witnessing our post-Christian America slide further and further left, and you've got gender confusion and just so many different issues. Technology has afforded Christian thinkers the ability to be able to help the church think biblically through difficult issues. I think about the daily briefing that Dr. Albert Mohler does. He's the president of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He has a program every day of the week called the Daily Briefing, and he actually goes through the media cycle, and he pulls headlines from major news outlets, major newspapers, and he is on the front lines of the culture debate, and he's helping Christians think through major issues from a conservative, evangelical, biblical worldview. And the fact that you can listen to his podcast, the fact that you can read the transcript from his program, electronic, that's helping the church. It can help you be engaged and help you know how to think through difficult issues and then be able to disciple other believers and be able to have a conversation with your college student grandchild or child. So cultural commentary. Another benefit he mentions is fellowship, Christian fellowship. You know, you think through the use of social media, through various blog posts and different media mediums, Christians can connect. Listen, I've got people that I keep up with that I've met on the mission field through social media that I never would have had the ability to be able to connect with them and talk with them. I mean, I talk with my pastor friend in Vietnam all the time. And there's a 12-hour difference, so I've got to make sure I'm not... It's like 11 o'clock in the day when I'm in touch with him. It'd be 11 o'clock at night for him and vice versa. But just the ability to have fellowship with different believers in distant places. To echo Waldo's point, outreach, mission... It's amazing at how easy and really inexpensive it is to produce ministry resources and send them around the world at the click of a mouse. The ability to be able to communicate and use technology to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a tremendous time, folks. And not knowing something, there are so many resources to help the church. And let me tell you something. Lack of information, it can't be a legitimate excuse for our lack of obedience when it comes to the Great Commission. All right? The thing is, there can be information overload if we're not careful, to where we get paralyzed by so much information. We don't do anything with it. Another benefit that he mentioned was the access of language, and specifically biblical languages. So, take, for example, I've got an app on my smartphone that I frequently use. It is my Takata app. It's the Strong's Concordance. Now, I use this when I study. I used to have the big Strong's, the strongest Strong's Concordance, you know, just a massive, massive book. Now, I've got that right here through the use of a simple app, and it helps me do my word studies. Same with my Logos Bible software program. I can do word studies, word searches, Old Testament words, New Testament words, Hebrew words, Greek words. And so technology has helped in the area of having a better grasp on biblical language. And then something he mentioned called digital sanctification. Reading theology, devotional articles. Technology is a tool. You can make it. You can use it as a servant to aid you in your personal sanctification, your growth. Now, sanctification is a work that involves my cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And thanks be to God that there are tools that can aid me in that pursuit of Christ-like character. So, the first way that we can be really intentional in living in a digital world involves embracing all of these digital benefits. Now, secondly, it also demands that we evaluate digital behaviors. If you're going to be intentional through the use of technology as a Christian, then evaluate your current behavior. How are you using technology now? Someone says, I'm not. Well, then you just listen for the rest of us who are. We've got to evaluate the way that we use it. And we should ask ourselves constantly several questions, especially with regard to social media usage, because Christians can misuse social media, and it can become a distraction, like we talked about last week, rather than the benefit that it can be if we're intentional. So I would say maybe the first question I would ask with regard to my use of, say, social media, am I really walking by the Holy Spirit? You look at social media timelines, and it's easy to see how many of them are filled with raw emotion. Opinions are wielded like swords on social media profiles. Political figures are lambasted. And let me just be honest with you, and I'm just going to be very frank. Regardless of what your political stripe is, and most of us are conservative, in no way does a social media platform give me the right to spew ugly things about someone across the aisle. Are you listening? You can say things, you can participate in political gossip. Let me tell you, the New Testament gives us our marching orders. We have our instructions to fear God and to honor the King, to pray for those who are in authority over us, even those that we vehemently disagree with their political pursuits and their political ambitions and their policies. In no way does that give me the right to be able to act like a fool on Facebook or Twitter and to resort to name-calling and just ugliness. So I've got to walk in the Spirit, and this is certainly true with the way that I engage in social media. It's easy to voice complaints. It's easy to cry out for attention, all in a social media post. And so, God help us be careful. Romans chapter 8 says this, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible for me to please God and be in the flesh at the same time. And you know what I'm talking about when I say, when the Bible talks about us being in the flesh, it's referring to the flesh in rebellion, in disobedience, the fallen nature, that Adamic nature. So as the followers of Jesus, we've got to die to those carnal impulses we have. I want to give somebody a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell it like it is. Well, what if the way it is ain't really the way it is as you see it? You ever thought about that? So God help us to be careful. For every idle word a man will speak, he's going to give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, let every man be quick to hear, slow to anger, slow to tweet. Okay? So am I walking in the Spirit? That's a good question to ask. Another question that we probably should ask as we use and engage in social media, do I use it as a platform to make much of myself? Am I using it to brag? Am I using it to call attention to myself? One person said this, somehow bragging always finds its wings on social media. In real life, we don't routinely unpack our awards and achievements for neighbors and co-workers and fellow church members. We don't feel the need to share everything from compliments to the material blessings we've received. And before social media, acts of service were not photo ops. But social media stokes the urge within to promote ourselves, to be seen, and even to be praised. You remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 6, he said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you'll have no reward from your Father who's in heaven." So when you serve someone, when you go the extra mile, when you're blessed, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be an opportunity to spotlight yourself. Proverbs 27, verse 2 says this, "Let another praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." A third question, if I'm going to evaluate my digital behavior, would be this, am I battling envy and even discontent? Because sometimes our envy and our jealousy of others can show up, especially through social media use. Sometimes whatever we're lacking or whatever we think we don't have, you know, you may scroll social media and scroll past someone who's prospering in that particular area, and in your heart you begin to get discontent and think, well, because I don't have what she has or what he has, I'm not as valuable as he is or as she is, and even begin to covet what he has or what she has. And so sometimes we can find ourselves just being idolaters all on a social media feed. So God help us to be careful in that regard. Don't feed your envy or your jealousy or your discontentment. Be satisfied in who you are in Jesus Christ. And don't use social media as a means of being able to compare yourself with someone else. And then, obviously, the fourth question would be, is this just the best use of my time? Okay? I don't know what device that you have. I don't know how many of you have an iPhone. I don't know what the Samsung or other version of this would be. But on my iPhone, if you swipe all the way to the left, there is a program called Screen Time. How many of you got an iPhone? All right? So I don't know if it's this way on yours, but it's this way on mine. Screen Time is some kind of an app or whatever on my phone that records the way that this phone is used. So I can look on this Screen Time app and I can see how much time I've spent in social media apps, how much time I've spent in reading apps, how many times I've picked up my phone throughout the day, how many notifications I've been sent via text messages, what I've looked at in an internet search engine, the number of pickups per hour. It shows me the total amount of time during the day that I've been on a screen. It adds up the time over the past week that I've been on a screen. First time I discovered this on my phone, I had to repent. I said, "Oh God, forgive me. Throwing it away." But listen, it's something that evidently the whoever the big wheels are behind that, they realize this is an issue. This is something we've got to track. This is something we don't even know the full ramifications of a person who spends exorbitant amounts of time on a screen, what that's going to do to their brain, what it's going to do to their life. So now here's a built-in tool to help you be intentional in the way that you use it. It requires discipline. It requires discernment. Okay? Let me throw this up here. Let me see if you can, I don't know if you can see this or not. A couple of graphs. This is from the TechWise family, which is a fantastic little book. If you're a mom or you're a dad, you've got small kids in your home. It's a little orange book. It was released, I think, by the Barna Group. But here's a graph. Those that, out of a study of several thousand believers, those who said, "This is how technology has made my life easier." Okay? You'll notice there at the top, 67% said it's made my life easier because it's given me access to so much more information. 54% said it's helped me be more connected to my family and my friends. 49% agree that it's helped them be better informed about the world. 30% said that their daily activities, it's been more convenient. 26% said it helps them do their job better. 25% said it made them more productive. 17% said it becomes a hub for a lot in my life. 13% said that it added joy to my life. Notice that only 13% said that it added joy to my life. Okay, pay attention to that. That's why that's actually in red, by the way. 9% said that it made me a better parent. 3% said that it hasn't made my life any easier at all. Now, contrast this with this next chart. How has technology made my life harder? Those same people, listen to this. 42% said, well, I waste a lot of time. 40% said, I'm now more distracted. 25% said, my devices sometimes separate me from other people. 23% said, I feel like I can never disconnect, just always plugged in. 21% said, it seems like my attention span is shorter. I've talked to pastors about this, and they've talked about how they've actually discerned in their congregations, just people's attention spans, it's harder for them to listen to longer sermons. To which I say, I don't care if y'all listen to me or not. It's going to preach till I get done. Anyway. 18% said I feel less productive. 14% said I feel anxious when I'm not with my phone. 13% says it tethers me to my job even when I'm not there. Now people can email me, they can text me. I get notifications all the time, work-related. And so, I just can't ever escape. That's what they're saying there. 10% said that it affected their relationships in a negative way. And 20% said that it hasn't made my life more difficult. And they're probably just not being honest. But, all right, so, that means then, if I'm going to be intentional in a digital age, a third thing to do is this. I need to establish some digital boundaries. Establish some digital boundaries. I embrace the benefits. I evaluate my behavior. But I need to establish some boundaries. Okay, again, remember that verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. I'm not going to be a slave to anything. So maybe some questions that you need to consider would be this. Is digital technology really helping make my life easier? Is it making it harder? Is the time that I spend on social media, is it really healthy for my life? Is it helping me connect on a deeper level with those that I love, or is it dragging me away? Is my time spent on entertainment something that controls me, or is it something that I control? Listen, maybe the best thing for you is to unplug for a season. If you feel like it's encroached so much into your life, why not set aside some time for a digital fast? It's been a digital feast up until now. Well, why not practice a digital fast? Lay it aside for a season. Take a day out of the week and say, you know what? I'm totally unplugged. I'm totally offline. Take a whole week. So establish some boundaries, okay? I think I've got time for this. Let me just kind of give you this before I shut it down tonight, all right? A digital use assessment quiz. This is right out of this book by Dr. Archibald Hart, all right? So maybe on the back of your sheet there in front of you, I'm just going to give you about 10 questions, and you can answer yes or no, okay? So just number 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way through 10, and then beside it, for the question that I ask, write a yes or a no, and this is a simple quiz that you can take for yourself personally, okay? Number one, and don't answer this out loud, okay? Just please don't. We don't want to think less of you. No, I'm just kidding. Number one, do you text and drive even though you know it's not the safe thing to do? Yes or no? And God is watching. And so are our police in the room, too. But I'm just kidding. Number two, do you get the urge to use your smartphone when someone else is talking to you? Yes or no? Number three, do you ever feel something hasn't really happened until you post about it on Facebook? Yes or no? Number four, does your family sit in the same room but not talk to each other because you're all interacting with your digital gadgets? Yes or no? And yes, even if your children are grown and it's just you and your husband at home, are you sitting in two recliners, hours on end, buried in a device? Number five, do you find that a ringing or a vibrating cell phone interrupts and trumps everything else? Yes or no? Number six, do you ever lie about your internet use? Yes or no? And then maybe parenthetically, did you just lie about your internet use? Okay. Okay. Number seven, are you experiencing a loss of interest in other activities that you used to enjoy? Yes or no? Number eight, do you neglect yourself, i.e. sleeping, eating, all because of time spent in the digital world? Yes or no? Number nine, do you feel anxious if you're offline for a period of time? Yes or no? And then number 10, last question, do you ever think about how you could focus better in real life without all of these gadgets invading your space? Yes or no? In other words, have you ever just given serious thought about how you're, have you ever been intentional with how you use digital technology? Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at that list, 1 through 10, and I want you to write down the number of yes answers and circle it at the bottom. All right, if you have zero yes answers, that's a perfect score. You're doing well managing your digital world. You're probably a digital hermit. You probably don't own a smartphone. You probably still have a landline rotary dial phone in your home. All right, if your score is 1 to 3, your digital use is still good. We would say good. If you have 4 to 6 yes answers, you have a problem, so caution is needed in your life. 7 to 10, your digital engagement is excessive, so take immediate steps to bring it under control. And I will refer you to Dr. Benamungu. So, all right. So listen, let's be intentional with the way that we use technology. Let's not be its slave. Let's make it our slave. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Our Father, we need wisdom tonight in all areas of life. And we praise you that you're the God who supplies wisdom through your Holy Spirit and through your Word. And Lord, I realize that this is a subject that doesn't necessarily impact every single person in this room, but I know, Lord, that for many of us, it does. And for the youngest generation, it does, for sure. So God, help us be wise and discerning. Help us to see this issue as really a matter of discernment and a matter of stewardship. And help us be intentional, Lord, as the followers of Jesus. And as we make disciples, Father, I pray that we would worship you and glorify you through the way that we use technology. Lord, may we make it our slave rather than us being its slave. And so go with us, Lord, throughout the remainder of this week. I pray, Lord God, that we would live to serve you and love you and worship you and all. You're a good God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Christ to die on the cross for us. And he's our risen Lord. And it's in his name I pray tonight. Amen. Amen.